We said last week that there are these three gospel stories from John that accompany the three scrutinies of the elect on their way to the Easter sacraments, and that these gospels and those scrutinies have been connected since the 4th century. So it's a long tradition we have here. And these stories are all long. I'm sorry about that. but they're so magnificent. And let's just jump in and talk about that gospel. Last week was a conversion story. The Samaritan woman at the well, in the course of her conversation with Jesus, she becomes his disciple. And she witnesses, she goes to the rest of the village and says, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." Now, this is a conversion story as well. The man born blind, blindness in the Gospels is always a symbol of darkness, and to some extent a symbol of sin. You know, people in Jesus' day believed that illness was directly related to sin, so that's why they ask him that question in the very first verse. Was it this man's sin or the sin of his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus says, well, they're not that closely connected. And so it's neither. But actually, it is God's will that this man was born blind so that this event could happen in your hearing and in your seeing, so that you would come to know who I am. And so he heals the man, and a man who was in darkness, in blindness, steps into the light and is healed. Now, the blind man in the story functions a little bit like the Shakespearean clown. In a lot of Shakespeare's plays, there's a clown, and he has funny lines, and he acts silly and everything. But after a while, you begin to realize he's the only wise one in the story. Everybody else is the fool. Well, in this story, the blind man is the only one who sees, and everybody else is blind, particularly the Pharisees. And so in the story, the Pharisees kind of start up in this lofty height of their wisdom and their knowledge of the tradition and the scriptures and the law. And they just kind of keep slipping down as the story goes. And finally, at the end of the story, they say, well, surely you're not saying we're blind, are you? And Jesus says, well, if you'd been born blind, there would be no sin in that. But we see, you say, and so your sin remains. It's such a great line. On the contrary, the blind man, he starts out low. He's blind from birth. He's steeped in darkness and to some extent steeped in sin, at least symbolically. But he converts through the process of the story, and the journey of his conversion is well told. He starts out by saying, you know, they ask him, who did this to you? Well, that man they called Jesus. That's all he says. Where is he? I don't know. And then later on, they say, well, what do you say about this man? And he says, I think he's a prophet. And then later he meets Jesus, and he calls Jesus Lord, and he worships him. You see the journey of faith, of conversion that's happening in this man. So cross purposes here. They're coming down, he's going up. Light and darkness are strong symbols in this story. And the Pharisees, who should be in the light, and they should be the ones who would reveal the light of the truth to everyone else around them, but they don't seem to be able to do that. They're locked into their own preconceived notions about things. They're locked into their own wisdom. And this is very telling. Truth, the truth about ourselves, self-awareness, those kinds of things, is rather elusive. And the illusion is to be tempted to think that you know yourself, or to think that you have the truth, or to think that you are wise. And you're better off being unknowing like the blind man. You see, he's a blank slate. He knows he's blind. He knows he needs God. He knows he doesn't understand. He's absolutely open to whatever God is going to do for him. And so Jesus not only heals his blindness, but he brings him to the light of faith, to the light of truth, so that by the end of the story, he's basking in all of that. that's still open, okay? The Pharisees, they live in their own closed little world, and they're so sure about themselves that they have the truth and they hold on to it and they control it. And so God can't get into their hardened hearts. By the end of the story, they're less converted than they were in the beginning. They just keep getting tighter and pushing God farther and farther out from their lives and from their hearts. Well, this is a great lesson for all of us. When the elect go through these scrutinies, they are inviting God to light up their lives, to tell them the truth about themselves, to shine light on their darkness. There's something about human nature that likes darkness. It's warm and secure. We can hide our frailties and our imperfections. And we keep thinking, we delude ourselves into thinking, well, nobody else knows about this, so it doesn't make any difference. You know, as if there were such a thing as a private sin. There is no such thing as a private sin that affects no one but me. Everything, we're all affected by each other. And if you are deluded, and this is an illusion, coming from the same Latin word as light, an illusion is you're lit up but askance, in a strange sort of way that doesn't reveal the truth. So these people who went through that scrutiny this morning, they've been instructed prior to this, open your heart completely. Let God tell you who you are. Let God heal you by his light. And so they step up here and they allow this exorcism to be prayed over them, this casting out of the darkness of their sin so that they can come to the light of the gospel. And at Easter, just a few weeks away, they're going to come to the light of the Easter candle in baptism, and Christ is going to bring them light. Now, one final thing. The second reading from Paul is about light too. And he talks about how we need to put off the deeds of darkness and the deeds of night, because we've come into the light of day by our conversion, by our becoming members of Christ. But the last line, he quotes an early Christian hymn. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, that's not from the scriptures. That's from what scholars believe to be an early Christian hymn, and something that they sang probably at Easter time, and it has specifically to do with baptism. Now, there's one other place that I know of that very line is quoted, and that's in a homily given by a bishop in the 4th century, and he tells the story of Christ during his 3 days in the tomb, going down into hell. Remember the Apostles' Creed? He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. Okay? And the creed that we pray at Mass is similar to that. What was he doing during that time? Well, we don't know, but popular lore in the early centuries said he went down and he sifted among the dead and he found Adam, his first parent. And he took him by the hand and he raised him up and he said to him, arise, O sleeper, and wake from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Well, it's a baptismal formula. We who once were darkness, St. Paul says, in baptism we have come into the light. Christ has lit up our lives, revealed the truth to us, and healed us of our untruth, and healed us of our sin. Because as we said last week, when God tells you who you are, it's never condemnation, it's always mercy. And so there are tears of joy, not tears of regret or sadness, tears of joy and relief. I've been holding this in for so long, and I didn't even know I was holding it in. And now Christ has revealed it to me, and I'm free of that burden. Well, Baptism is celebrated only once, but it's an ongoing reality, isn't it? This man goes through various phases in his conversion journey, and so do we. Most of us were baptized as infants back there at that font, and we don't even remember it. But we've been signing ourselves in that font every Sunday we come here, every time we enter a church. And we renew our baptismal promises at Easter, but also we renew that by proclaiming the creed every Sunday. Our lives are baptismal. Our lives are one constant conversion story, going from depth to depth to depth of faith, deeper realization of who I am in Christ, deeper realization of being joined in the body of Christ with all of you. This just comes clearer and clearer, more and more light as life goes on. And this is just the preamble. This is just the teaser. Because in the kingdom, we will be facing that light square in the eye. We'll be looking into the face of Christ, and we will be one with him forever.